Hello and welcome to the Amber Stitt Show. I am your host, Amber Stitt, and today we welcome the talented Amy Scruggs. Welcome to the podcast today, Amy.
I'm so thrilled to be with you. I've actually been really looking forward to this. We've been playing it a while, and here we are.
And I met you through another media webinar. I think it was considered a webinar through shameless plug. Women in Insurance Financial Services, the Phoenix chapter, had an amazing webinar and you were our guest and you were teaching everybody about how to get media ready, which is something I love talking about all the time if I can. But I have to sell insurance. So yeah, I'm trying to bridge that cool insurance topic and then media too, right? We make it work.
We make it work, but it all pairs together in today's world. Everything is.
And we're going to dig into that. I think we'll dig into that quite a bit today. So I'm excited about talking about marketing. It's one of my favorite things. My husband says, you know, if you could do the one thing, it would be marketing. But I'm like, no, I want people to get organized and take action for their families. So we got to do both. But as business owners, there's a lot we can do and even employees of businesses. And so we'll tap into that. Really love to give takeaways when I can, some application. You're the perfect girl for the job, I believe. So why don't we tell the audience a little bit about, like, I know, give me a day in the life of Amy.
Goodness. Well, after 20 years of combined careers, and that's what it takes a lot, is combining your talents and careers so it really becomes one big bundle that you're proud of. Mm-hmm. For me, 20 years in mortgage and real estate and sales management of really helping professionals. And then when the industry disappeared, and we'll talk about that a little bit, I've also been singing and performing music since I was 3 years old. So I took the skills of being in front of professionals, of understanding, asking for the business, and put it into my career as a recording artist. And so the last years I have toured and opened for some of the biggest names in country music. I spent 3 years as the spokesperson for the American Veterans for the state of California. Currently I am still a media and communications coach. Mm-hmm. I help professionals really become confident in front of camera. It's how we met with the webinar. But I also have new music out on radio, so I am still a recording artist.
You didn't tell me that.
A professional, and all the careers came together, and I am an author of a best-selling book, Lights, Camera, Action, again, about coaching, and it all comes together. No matter what we're doing, we have to have that confidence, and I know we'll discuss that today, but that's what I do. I'm also a wife and a mother, four of my own kids that are grown. My oldest son toured with me as my lead guitar player. My youngest is now in college, plays five instruments. And then I have two bonus children as well that are grown. So six total. And that keeps us busy.
That keeps you busy. I keep pretty busy with one. And I think I do so good with the one.
Yeah, I have extras if you'd like.
I do too back home. Like I have these other siblings. There's five others. And that's where I think I just decided mentally young, I'm having one because I was the oldest of a lot of kids. So, okay. For the audience that just listened to Amy and might know me, we can bring a lot to the room and overwhelming in a good way, good energy. But I want to dissect and kind of take this back a little bit because I love what you say about that bundle. We grow up thinking like, stay in your lane, do this one thing that, you know, maybe sometimes what our parents think we should be involved with, but like you're pulling talents in from being young. And it took until years later that you took what you liked even as a young child. And then you're like, I'm doing it in my adult life after working in the business world. And that's why we call it pathways of peak performance, because you can take different pathways. And I know with my daughter, I want her to see me working, but I want her to find her favorite thing about maybe what I do. So I'm not asking her to be in it with me because that's not cool. So, I mean, I'm guessing the guitar player, there was probably a combination of things happening there. You can maybe share about that, but showing that leadership and then letting people come along for the ride and plugging in where they're talented. As a Gallup certified coach that I did that years ago, didn't really make sense at the time. I was going into my own business after being in the business for 5 years. I went out on my own in 2018. And I was like, I just want to go get this other credential because I love learning about personalities. So there's so many of those out there, but focusing on what you love can really make work not feel like work. And I feel like you embody that. So, so like, did you always have the confidence? I guess if you're performing young, but like, how did you take it up a notch and bring it into the business world?
You know, some of that answer came from just that bare survival. So even when I first started in the real estate and mortgage industry, it was my first big girl job per se. I had done the little jobs and waited tables and worked at the pharmacy when I was younger, but I had the kids young. Then at 29, really stepped into that career. And I had an amazing woman take a chance on me. She was a cancer survivor, mother of three. She said, I like you. You're tenacious. I'll take a chance on you. But I did not even understand how to read a rate sheet. And I was going out into one of the most competitive professions at that time in the early 2000s in the mortgage industry in Orange County, which was the mecca and the hub of all of it. So yes, I was terrified. Yes, I lacked confidence. Yes, I knew I was about to get eaten alive, and I cried in my car every time I got back in from another appointment. But what I figured out very quickly was utilizing the skill that I had from being a childhood performer. Wait, I'm comfortable in front of people. So let me look at this like memorizing lyrics to a song and using that skill of just memorizing the rate sheets, memorizing the talking points without fully understanding them yet, being able to present them, I started getting business. Then I learned as I went. Then it started absorbing. Wow, okay, now I'm really understanding what this means. I understand the margins now. I understand what this is looking like and how it's coming together. And I was also so grateful for this woman that took a chance on me that I felt that I needed to succeed for her. That drive to help her caused me to succeed even more than it was for myself and needing to provide for children that needed to be fed and a mortgage and a roof over my head. So it was a lot of survival mode. Like you just pointed out, that instinct to learn and then learn as I go, putting in the confidence of I'm okay in front of people. I'm going to use that to set myself apart.
Okay. So I left Nebraska, came to Arizona when there was the buzz in 2004 of just everything was booming. And in the West, Nevada, California, Arizona,
right,
and other states, I think Florida was a big one. It's just, I got into the industry too. So I don't know that you knew I was a loan processor way back and I was too scared of being in sales. So I never got into sales because not great at math. And I'm scared of talking in front of people. So I just gave that up back in my 20s, just said, nope, I can't do it, which is why I advocate for people now to find their own way. But you're mentioning consistency. And so I've had other executive coaches or others that I in my community say fear is really coming from something you just don't understand.
Yes.
So understand it. Like if you don't understand the rate sheet, you're still saying, okay, if I can get the numbers straight and get that consistency, you can be more comfortable. And then you're taking that framework and then you dial it into the next thing. If I'm guessing, you gave yourself some grace at the beginning and said, we got to figure this out. So I have to figure this out. Kids or no kids, you know, got to get after it. But the other thing too is our fifth step of the Pathways of Peak Performance is focusing on community. And I just left this WFS National Conference in October with being a moderator for a next generation panel. And I just wrote the article for the group about this, where what I got from the younger people is that, are we really supporting each other? And if you're like, reflect on that, are you really supporting the person around you that needs to have that voice from you? Like you're that person was for you. If not, try to bring that out and give that to somebody, because my business partner now, he was the original one, like, you need to get up there and start talking. And I'm like, and that was the catalyst of wasn't the best performance my first time, but I just said, okay, got to brush it off and I got to do it again.
And how much you learned from that.
But I had to tell myself, stop with the negative, because all the thoughts were swirling. I forgot to do this. I forgot to click my PowerPoint slides. I stood there with the wrong shoes, wrong dress, and all these things postpartum, pumping upstairs in the hotel room, like minutes before, the guys don't get it in this dress, you know? But I just said, enough. And I told myself, stop talking to yourself like that. This is your first time. It's going to get better. But I had to tell myself that and then go, all right, what's the next thing? And that was around COVID where everything was shut down. So I did a virtual, almost like an improv acting style, kind of a voice presentation coaching. And it was so much fun, but awkward.
It is awkward, isn't it? I work with professionals day in and day out. And I always say, this is going to feel awkward. You're going to feel like a cartoon character, but I need you to trust me. This is where we're going to find your voice for real and one that resonates with your audience. And that makes all the difference.
So I like that you obviously figured out professionally, okay, I got a couple of things going on here and you're still doing multiple things to this day. But as you became a subject matter expert, you're like, hey, I've been there.
Yes.
I've learned these things. So that's a lot of what you do is consulting, and it's probably global now, I'm guessing. You could help anyone anywhere.
Yes.
And so that's become something that brings you joy. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how are you helping people? Or is there something that maybe a little teaser that you see people constantly fighting with that maybe people could apply today? Is there any like little teaser thing that if you just fix this little thing, it's a game changer?
Well, the number one, if there was something that I say you have to fix immediately, if you're going to work with me, it's the filler words. That is the...
Okay. Besides like... What's the main filler word that people are doing these days?
Yeah, so, like.
Right? Have you heard the right? It's like, I'm looking at this aqua cup right in front of me, this mug. You like this aqua cup, right?
Right.
I'm hearing so many say the rights. or the likes. And Amy, do you feel like if people are saying this, it's almost, I'll start absorbing it too if I'm around people that are doing it and I have to turn it off.
I have to cleanse. After working with different clients, I will absorb a word, something I'm trying to help them get rid of. The next thing I know, it comes out of me from nowhere and I've not something I've used before. So I have to stop and do my own dialogue practice again to cleanse those words. I think the most overused word right now, and you're going to notice this a lot as you listen to interviews, and especially as a professional interviewer like yourself, is that so many people start everything with absolutely, and then they go into their point. Absolutely, and then
it's
go into
their point. It's not a necessary transition word.
Pause. Take out those filler words, pause and breathe, and start a sentence with a sentence. I've never opened an email that starts with yeah, so and I've never opened an email that starts with absolutely, let me share my point. We take so much time typing out a nice message, making sure that we come across professional and eloquent, but we're not putting that into our spoken presentation. So really bringing that cohesiveness there, that you're representing yourself the same way, can create confidence. It creates credibility and it allows your message to resonate more with your audience, whether that's a one-on-one audience or a workshop or a business meeting or a keynote speaking.
I mean, that's the thing. You could leave your house, go grab a cup of coffee. Your future client could be sitting, standing in that line next to you. I forget who it was that talked about the digitization of your reputation. It is what you bring out into the world every day that you go. You don't always have to be hair, makeup ready on the go all the time, but we talk about AI and technology. Some people are scared, but you know, it's like lean into that and how do you become more effective? But then make sure that your communication skills are on point because no one can replace you.
Exactly.
So that is the main thing we should be working on all the time. And I mean, I've done a big pour in of personal development in some of these groups that I belong with for more of the insurance planning and just scaling business and growing teams. And I needed that this year. But that's where, you know, I know that you're essential, especially when it comes to media and how you are helping people dial that in. This is the thing we need to be focusing on because how we interact is huge. And that could just bring so many opportunities. And you just never know. Could you agree with me on this? As we're speaking, the audio fillers, but don't text with them either. Because I feel that if it's important enough to bring some awareness to somebody, say a client, try to watch that. And so
my go-to for my communications with clients and in important messages, whether it's to family, friends, and professionals, is I send a video message. I turn on my camera on my phone. I'm here. Just wanted to ask if it's okay if we move that meeting back 30 minutes. I really appreciate your patience in that. Let me know if that's going to be an issue. I make my message. You can see my face. You can hear my delivery. I click send. I delete it out of my phone. Those video messages really help to make sure that our communications are clear and concise.
Yeah. And I know that when you do some of your teaching, you talk about how that's essential, but then how to do that and become more comfortable on camera. And I think it's just one of those things you just have to get used to it. So for me, podcasting, more conversational, those types of conversations are easier for me than say on stage, but I think that they can be all important. And so you have to get comfortable. Now I'm just worrying about my so's. So now Jay, edit out the so.
Edit out the so's.
Or don't, because it's a blooper. But see, we all need to work on that.
We also threw a lot of conferences. I mean, especially before COVID, but now during COVID, there was the webinars. And after, we're all excited to get back out to those in-person conferences in whatever industry we're at, whether we're doing personal development, we're there for our careers, whatever it is. And there'll be multiple speakers in these things. 9 times out of 10, you've got a handful of speakers that are doing a full day conference. We all remember the one that resonated with us. We will think about that one that you can just see you as a polished enough speaker, comfortable on stage to catch our attention. Now, the truth is inside that person had the same butterflies before they went out there because it is the most common fear is public speaking. The difference is those that take the training to say, I'm willing to get past it. I'm willing to understand my talking points and what's going to connect with my audience. And that preparation will override any lack of confidence and allow you to connect. And when you see an audience give you that aha, or maybe laugh at your funny story because you landed it correctly, or maybe start to take notes. When you see an audience taking notes or screenshotting your slides, you know you're doing a good job. When you look into an audience and see them not doing it, or looking down at their phones and not paying attention to you, that's also a sign. And that's when you realize I need to make some adjustments.
Mm. And the pauses, right?
Yes.
Those are important. The pauses, the uncomfortable ones, they're necessary, but sometimes our brains go, fill in all the space.
But it's magic. A pause. I will walk up to a stage and I will pause first before I ever say hello, because I want them to feel my energy. I want to feel the energy of that room. I want to take that moment that we all realize we're sharing this space and we're about to embark on a journey here together, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. The pauses are incredible. They allow your audience to understand what it is you're sharing, to receive it, to purge it, whatever it is they need to do with it. Giving that space allows so much more mentally, intellectually, and emotionally for your audience.
Well, and if it's that important, it needs to soak in too.
Yes.
So Amy, let's shift over to talking about family being involved in the business. And the thing is, people talk about it being potentially, it's a family business, or saying, I have family in the business. It's almost giving this respect factor that it's just, oh, they're not just here because I couldn't find somebody else, but just know they want to be here because they're supposed to be here.
Yes.
And they're the talented ones for the job. So the guitar player, that's why I just wanted to go back to that, if that's okay, and celebrate writing. And are the stories in your family or through your experiences part of where these lyrics come from? And did the kids always like this part of growing up?
Well, there's multiple kids, so there's different answers for each one of those. My son Ryan started playing guitar by ear at 13. And his words for me then was, I will never play for you. Don't even think it. And I would be starting, I was just really starting to go out and tour. This was during that recession time. He said, I won't do it. Don't even think it. Well, I put a band together and he had to come along.
I don't think we told everybody this. You literally did this when you shifted.
I had to shift.
You weren't always performing.
I was always performing. Yes, I was performing outside of my mortgage career. So I was doing concerts in the park, performing around Southern California. The kids always had to come with. They hated it. Of course, but that's what we did.
Never doing this, Mom.
The recession hit and wholesale mortgage. I was a wholesale rep, which means I represented the bank on behalf of the bank to the mortgage broker. I never met the consumer, the actual home buyer or refinancing home buyer. Mm-hmm. I was only dealing with the mortgage broker. That disappeared. That recession caused that job to completely disappear. So everything I knew that was providing for my family was gone, but I had this talent to perform. I had just gained all this confidence in business over these last years and seen the success of that. And I realized, what if I put these together and come up with a very quick business plan and action plan to start performing full time where it's going to really provide for us? And we did. Within 6 months, I was opening for Clint Black on a national stage in Arizona at Camp Verde, Arizona on the 4th of July because I asked for the business. I used the same confidence, put together a marketing plan, and went and asked for the business. A lot of music artists don't understand they have to run it as a business. I was booking my own PR. I was booking radio station and TV interviews. I was getting features in newspapers to say I was coming into town. So I utilized this business plan to create that visibility and momentum. And that's what allowed us to go out and succeed. And I did. I put a band together first that they were wonderful. And my son, who's now a musician, watching this, finally realized maybe he had made an error in judgment and that he would play for me. So he had to start as a guitar tech. He was a roadie. He was selling shirts. He was packing the truck. He was driving the truck before he joined us by the time he was 18. And so that made the difference, but he earned it. He wanted it. And it came together so that he was able to do that for me. Now the songs, a lot of the songs we do are written for us by great writers in Nashville, but Ryan wrote a few songs for us that were really for the heart of the veterans and the work we did with the veterans and some of his experiences. He's a great writer. But he only chooses certain songs that I actually get to perform and record. And it's an honor that he allows me to. I never assume that what he writes is for me. I ask permission to be able to sing some of his songs. And that's worked out well. There's a respect element there for us when we work together, that it's, we respect, it's not mom and son. It's work together and the mom and son issues are off the stage.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing about how that even works. And I think for me, when I mentioned the next generation panel that I was on, we focus on next generation, wanting to bring younger talent into whatever industries that we're in and lean into where they've come from, because they've came from a different place with their generation where we can almost be annoyed with them on technology, get off your phone. But there's this element of creation and they're not going to wait for things to happen. And so there's that dynamic element from the younger generation. I think that they have seen what we have experienced over the last few generations and they don't want that. They want more for the world or the economy and so on. So I'm excited for that. But I'm also excited about anyone's next generation, any age, because what I'm seeing, and I know that as you work with leadership and consulting, there's this period of time where, like, you had that time back in 2007, correct? Yeah. And in 2008.
Yes.
Then we have this COVID situation where people might be retiring early, or let's just call it straight retirement. People might be shifting into a different world for themselves and they don't really know where they're going to land, or they've been pre-programmed to think that retirement's this thing and then they're just going to relax and enjoy life, but we're going to live for a long time. So, how do we balance all of that?
What do we do?
So before we wrap up today, I want to talk about bundling those talents and how to really initiate that and trust yourself that just because it doesn't make sense right now doesn't mean you shouldn't consider it to be a real thing for you. Yes. So let's wrap up with that today.
Yes. And I love that you tapped into the retirees, because I do speaking in front of a lot of retirees. And what's wonderful is so many of them are motivated to be out there doing their outreach and nonprofit work. So they're retired, but they're in the community trying to make a difference. And so these skills are just as important, because if you're raising funds for an organization, or you're the voice for an organization, you're volunteering, maybe having comfort being in front of media or comfort speaking about it is still just as important as when they were in their careers, and having some of these skills. And I love that you brought up the youth, because what I share a lot is allowing those youth to help those retirees. Say, I will help you put this on social media. I will help run this for you and get community service points or what they need for their college apps. If they start working together, these students are getting valuable time with seasoned professionals. And at the same time, those retirees and senior seasoned professionals are able to utilize bringing the youth into that world of service, into the world of young professionals with something that they can be proud of that they're doing. And it's a great connect if we stop putting that divide in there of, oh, these are boomers versus our Gen Zers,
and
come together and say, we each have skills that we need from each other. And I've seen it happen, and that combination is magical.
Yeah, there's wisdom. Yeah. Each one, even though the Xers, millennials are like, I don't want to be over here. It's kind of a joke, but really respecting all pieces of it. And from what I've heard or learned is that the Zs are almost having this boomer mindset about money. So I'm very excited. Yes. Some people think I might be a little bit too positive about it. But again, when I say they're not waiting for classroom, they're not waiting to create a solution, because as you know, you're creating opportunity with solutions that you can provide. You've done that, Amy, multiple times. They're going to do that. They don't know any better.
Right.
I think they're just going to go out there and do it. So I think also with the older demographic, my grandmother being 92, she's very much participates in all her grandchildren's lives, and she's very much involved in their businesses and so on. I think that's part of her being so stimulated mentally is staying involved.
Yes.
And that's why she's just still doing her thing and happy and thinks she's got another decade to go. She says she's in the middle of a remodel, kind of taking a while, but you know, I can't imagine it would turn that fast with hers, but there's so much more life to have. So I think so that when you're talking about, when you're working with some of that and seeing the young working with the older, there's some beauty in that.
There's a lot of beauty in it. I'm seeing it firsthand, especially in Rotary International. You have your Rotaracts and your Interacts, and then you've got Rotary, which has a lot of older demographic, and watching them come together. I'm watching that make an impact and really start to influence this next generation with such positivity and outreach. And at the same time, helping those older ones to pull in some of today's trends and technology and how to utilize them for the right reasons. And so if everybody's in it for the right reason, there's a lot more cohesiveness in how they have these conversations and what they're wanting to help with. And if it's really helping the community, which, as you said, these Gen Zers, they want to save our planet. They're terrified. They want to save the world. And we need to help them with the tools we have and let them use the tools they have to get it done. And it's a beautiful combination.
Teamwork. You always inspire me. So how should we get people to find you?
If you Google Amy Scruggs, I promise you cannot miss it. You will find me on all socials. If you Google, you cannot miss me. Thankfully, it's a unique name, and you'll see my music out there, my speaking, everything. And it's really, really exciting to see how it all came together. I'm able to now do a keynote presentation, comfortable in front of an audience, with the experience I have in business and performing. And then I can end it at the piano with a performance to my audience. So I'm able to take all of those things impacting outreach and professionalism and yet still be an entertainer. And that's the bundle.
That's the bundle. I like it. If only I kept up with piano, my piano playing skills.
Yes.
Gosh, the one regret. But, you know, I probably could figure it out.
I hated the piano lessons as a kid. And now look what I'm able to do with it.
Yeah. And that's, and again, you don't have to have all the answers. And that's really what I want my daughter to also know too. And just for the younger people that come out of high school, go to college, and you're supposed to know everything. The most successful, I'm telling you, could be like 30 to 50 years old before they find that. And it's not to be discouraging. There's a lot of fun along the way, and there could be a lot of money to be made in different regards, but yes, it's okay not to have the absolute answer yet. It can, yes, layer itself with time.
It's okay to figure it out. My youngest is in her second year of college, and we have this conversation every day. It's okay to figure it out. It's okay to have do-overs. It's okay to change your mind. I've had five different lives in the last 15 years. It's okay. Let it evolve. Use your talent.
Yeah, for you, Amy, I've seen it for myself. You're obviously, you have a lot of that you've shared today. And that's where I just want people to have the opportunity to, again, give themselves some grace and just figure out, if I could conjure up this thing that I would just love to do, I believe you can. And I'm sure that, you know, you're seeing it every day with your clients.
Yes, completely. When people find that creativity, that new voice, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Finding the voice, being confident to find the voice and know your message can allow that creativity and allow those new opportunities.
Well, I think that's a beautiful place to end today. And we'll link up how to find you. But like you said, I can Google you and find you anywhere. But we'll give people the links to find you and look forward to hearing new music. And it'll be a great 24, it sounds like.
Yes, so, more to
awesome.
Come.
Well, thanks. Yes, more to come. Thanks, Amy. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Amber Stitch Show. For more information about the podcast, books, articles, and more, please visit me at amberstitch.com. Until next week, enjoy your journey at home and at work. Thank you for listening.